Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
No way, Jose!
The following footage proves beyond any doubt that the tanks intentionally set the house on fire. It proves that the Branch Davidians were murdered. You can see that this tank has a gas jet on the front that shoots fire. You can also see the fire quite plainly. The tank goes into the house twice, and each time as it backs out, the fire at the gas jet is plainly visible.
We must all do more to recognize and look for the early warning signals that deeply troubled young people send.
What is up, guys? This is Jose. You're watching No Way Jose, doing a morning stream today. So just a little warning for you guys, expecting different content. This will be more stream directed, maybe a little bit more, probably more video, compatible. But I'll try to accommodate with the reading. By the way, if you hear that meowing, as I've explained, for those who've been following along with the morning streams, this is where I do it just kind of like a on-the-fly morning stream, kind of in my living area. It became this thing, because I'm not able to use my little studio area all the time. So this is just, I'm able to kind of squeeze in more for you guys. And I figure this is more of a chill spot where I kind of go through threads or articles that I've been wanting to go through anyways with you guys. Man, that cat will not shut the fuck up. Oh, all right, there we go. No, shut up. Sorry. I don't know to what extent you guys can hear that, but it was driving me nuts. All right, cool. Yeah, we have a cat in the other room that, that is in heat. For those who aren't aware, I breed cats over here. But is in heat. But we're not ready to breed her because she's still too young. But she is very loud about it. And she's fucking annoyed and she's horned up. But here we are. We're going to press through. But anyways, guys, I am back. This will be, I believe, probably the first time I really talked to you guys since all of the Hurricane Milton hullabaloo. I talked to you guys a little bit earlier already, because I did an episode with Amy Lepore, whose background is in emergency management. I believe she has like a PhD in it. So, and that was a good conversation. She's a cool gal. So that'll be coming out probably Friday. I'll have that drop like Friday. So for those to keep an eye out for it, but in a certain sense, this is my first time touching base with you guys, letting you know, how things went, kind of touching with you guys. But before touching base with you guys, before we get into it, I do, while we wait for people to roll in for the stream, because this is a stream, it's a live chat, a live stream. Obviously, this will go out later on the audio podcatchers, and you can watch it later on, you know, Rumble, YouTube, whatever. But for those who show up at the time, you guys can talk to me. You guys can get involved in the conversation if you guys have any thoughts, whatever. I also do want to let you guys know that there is a tab in the Tower Gang Telegram that we've made, like the Jose morning stream spot. So if you have suggestions or you want to, like, articles you would like me to read or whatever, you can drop them in there. And that is associated with the Tower Gang Patreon. But if you are one of my patrons, and you do, and you don't, for some reason, don't want to support Tower Gang as well, which I get it, whatever, they're very different entities. I'm more serious. That's more of my, like, this is my more of my big brain. That's more of my pee-pee-poo-poo. But if you do want to support either one, if you're just supporting mine and you want to have access just even just for that tab, let me know. I can set it up. It's not like super duper active. I'm just letting you know it's there. I'm not going to make a whole telegram yet for the show. If you guys do have a desire out there for a telegram for No Way Jose, let me know. I will say I kind of was like, didn't really get the point of it with Tower Gang until we started doing it. It's kind of fun. So I don't know if you guys, if that's something you guys think you would like as an audience, you know, reach out and let me know. Jesus Christ, I'm about to fucking stop this. Please, if you guys are in the chat, let me know if the cat is distracting for you. Because it is for me, but I think it may be way louder in my ear than it is for you guys. So, you guys let me know. You be the judge of that. I might end up fucking stopping and chucking her in a room. But anyways, back to it. What was I even talking about? Damn it, that threw me off. Well, all right, guys, here we are. Like I said, I remember what I was telling you guys. It's about the Telegram. So if you guys want that, let me know. But for the meantime, it is already set up on Tower King. So if you want to support that or if you just want access to it, let me know. I believe I can probably figure out a way to give you guys access to it, and I don't feel like the rest of Tower Gang would really care if there's a few onesies, twosies. Just make the thing more active anyways, and whatever, you're supporting one of us. I don't think they're too worried about it. But let me know, and if that's the case, I can accommodate it. But before we get into it, like I said, while we wait for some of these people to come in, I do want to let you guys know. I want to kind of, you know, make the bills, you know, pay the bills. But also more than that, I like this company, Nadeau Shave Co. If you guys noticed, and you will notice in a second once I drop this infographic, I shaved my little, neck beard, which was nice after the ordeal between the hurricane and all the stuff I've gone to. Nothing drives me nuts more than like an overgrown neck beard. I always keep that thing shaved, you know. Even if I'm having a beard or not, the neck beard, not happening. I don't know. It rubs against my neck. It itches. I don't like it. That's just me. Maybe it's the autism in me. But yeah, if you want to be able to shave your neck or edge up or do whatever and do it in a fraction of the price and with a better quality than you'll get from that multi-blade razor nonsense like a Fusion or whatever, then this is really what you need to do. Nadeau initially jumped on with Tower Gang, sent us over some, and you know, so I didn't, you know, have to like reach out to him for you know, I mean, I was already going on a Tower Gang, but you know, when we got these, I was impressed with these and realized like, oh geez, you know, think about how much you expend on those multi-blade nonsense. Like, you will, this really is way more economic, way better. I know it feels better on the skin. He also has shave soaps these days that he started selling. So I highly recommend go check out NadeauShaveCo.com. About a year, just a year of shaving is about $75 if you're going this route. The standard issue includes one traditional safety razor and a box of 100 stainless steel razor blades. And yeah, if you do feel like that's not going to work for you, if you feel like you need more, I mean, it's 100 blades. And each one of those you probably get, you know, 1 to 3 shaves out of, depending on how rough your face is. I'll be honest, I make it last longer. You know, just to give you an idea of how long that'll last you, I mean, hell, that's like 300 days. But if that's still not enough, if you need to if you shave on the regular, you shave daily, you might want to consider the Quarter Shave Club. That's about 25 cents per replacement blade. Also do want to let you guys know this is a COVID mandate refusing company. This company was literally born out of refusing the mandate. Old Nadeau here, I had him on the show a while back. He got kicked out of the military for refusing the mandate, and then he went entrepreneur and decided to start this company. He has a good story if you guys want to check it out. It's way back there. Go look up Nadeau and, you know, search that in the search bar on my channel. I'm sure it'll come up. But yeah, use Jose to get 10% off your entire order. It definitely is a business that I dig and I'd like to promote. But all right, let's check in with your comments. I'm a paid to subscriber on Tower Gang Locals. How do I get the Telegram? To be honest, I don't entirely know. They kind of forced me into it. You're a paid subscriber. If you follow me on Twitter, message me or something, and I'll get back to you. Because I'll hit up Top or somebody later that actually handles this stuff, and I'll get you set up for that. You know, so I don't know if we're mutuals or not, but yeah. Based, never knew that. I'll check out that episode. I don't know which one referring to, but thanks for joining us, Damien and Charles. But yeah, I guess I'll kind of start giving an update what's going on with my life for those who haven't checked out the lame. Oh, I bet you I know what he was talking about the episode, probably the Nadeau one. I'll kind of let you guys know where I'm at, what's going on with me. We had Milton Hurricane, and as I mean, for the patrons, this is repeating information, but I guess I kind of semi-doxed myself in that episode a little bit. Although you guys, I've told you guys before, I kind of live in like the Tampa area, roughly, but I'm probably was, I don't know, 50 to 100-ish miles north of where the hurricane actually ended up hitting. And then where it was, you know, pretty much the whole, damn near the whole way through, it was pretty much set to go pretty much right where I was at. So, yeah, that's a, sorry, I'm going to fucking mess my hand. Oh, I see Fat Dave in the chat. I'm pretty sure we've talked since then. Okay, whatever. I see Fat Dave, old Cole in the chat saying your house is still there. Damn, I was hoping it really got you. Well, fuck you too, dude. No, it got me. I live in more than a trailer, unlike you, so that works. But yeah, I live pretty much damn near where it was going to hit, but I live probably about, I don't know, like 10 to 15 miles inland. So, you know, inland of the coast. And the coast was like the real thing that people were concerned about. Because, you know, they were worried about the storm surge, which is really something that, really affects you if you're, you know, if you're really close to the coast, cause that's that surge of water coming in, and that's what will make you be fucking underwater. I mean, also kind of in the area I'm at, there is, you do have to be kind of concerned about flooding, but, on my property, I kind of know my property fairly well. I've been through a bunch of hurricanes. I was not concerned about on mine. Jesus Christ, there's a cacophony of fucking cats all of a sudden. What the fuck? It's like they know what I'm doing. Those fucking assholes. All right. But yeah, just so you guys know, I'm fine. It did not end up hitting as a 5 like everyone in the world was acting. It is weird. The national news was acting like the world was going to end. But then when I looked at my local news, they were pretty calm. And I mean, don't get me wrong. They were like, hey, they had a open-eyed kind of like, hey, if you're living in a trailer or if you're in an area prone to flooding or if you're in these flood zone or whatever, like, you know, take care, you know, maybe evacuate, whatever. But it was like a realistic, like, kind of what most Floridians know, like, hey, if you're not worried about flooding, if you're not that close to the coast, I mean, other, if you're like, if you're not that concerned it's going to hit as like a 5 or even like a 4 depending on what you live in, then, you know, essentially, you know, bend down the hatches, essentially, and you'll probably be fine if you're not in like one of those really, really rough spots, which I did. I was out in the hurricane hanging out there a bunch, checking out the wind. The wind did get kind of wild, but it only ended up hitting as like a 3. So, yeah, which is kind of what the local news was saying the entire time, and lo and behold, they were correct. We actually ended up, ironically, evacuating after because we lost power for probably like a half a week or so. And the old lady was not having living at the house without power. Although we were prepped for being without power, we could have gone that. It's just she just didn't want to be uncomfortable and whatever. I get it. You know, I have a wife and 2 daughters. They were not looking forward to camping in the house. Whereas me, whatever. I would have been fine. So far as damage, didn't do anything to my house. Messed up my fence line a little bit. I'm fine. So just so you guys know where I'm at, I mean, but it did definitely do, you know, kind of help for a lot of people around here. I lost a lot of work. I lost a lot of days of work due to this. I mean, definitely had to spend a lot of money. So it's just kind of like spending future money, essentially. Not future. I mean, I have money saved up. I'm not acting like I don't. But essentially, like, I was being unproductive during these days, not making money and just spending money. So it's like I'm kind of working backwards in a time. So I will say for my patrons out there, really appreciate you guys. You guys did help. You're very helpful in situations like these. I mean, I do my best. I would like to get to a point where those funds are pretty much mostly just show related. But every now and then, you know, I got to make sure the show goes on and make sure I'm okay. So thank you guys for that. I appreciate it. But today I figured we'd go through maybe like a couple threads I found kind of interesting. I wanted to go through a article with you guys, but I think to start this off, I got a chat today, and I got a chat from a buddy of mine. I'm not going to name him. He's actually been on the show before. He's really cool. Great guy. So this is in no way a slight against him at all. I mean, not that anyone would think it is. I think once I explain it to you, but he asked me if Aberration in the Heartland of the Real was even worth reading, and, you know, or if he was like, hey, can I just like kind of watch your content and get the most out of it, or get like what I need out of it kind of deal. And I want to kind of essentially, I guess, a promo for this book, kind of tell you the reasons why you should read this book, and then also just kind of really emphasize why so many people really love this book. It's not just that it's good on Oklahoma City. It is. But I figured I'd just kind of scroll through the table of contents just to kind of jog my memory on all the different ones. I'll even kind of sort of read my or paraphrase my conversation so you can kind of get where I'm coming from. He said, like, hey, is Wendy Painting's book on OKC worth reading? That's Aberration in the Heartland of the Real, The Secret Lives of Timothy McVeigh. Dope-ass cover. Are there interviews of yours that cover it I could watch? Or are there interviews of yours that cover it I could watch? Seems like a big investment. And I said, oh my God, yes it is. I only breeze over bits of it. Even if it's just for her MK Ultra section, her breakdown of modern lone wolves, historical false flags, or any number of other deep dive rabbit holes in the book, it's worth the investment. That's kind of what I wanted to emphasize. This book really does a number on that. Like you would think like it would kind of stick to just Oklahoma City, and you know, I guess that's the way most people look at it. But really, how this works is, as she's going through, she's fleshing things out, and you're like, okay, well, if you're gonna have a background on this, or you know, we're gonna talk about all the different possible. For example, they cover all the different narratives that many people cover or talk about when they're talking about the Oklahoma City bombing, like the different takes people have on the conspiracy or lack thereof. So she kind of like creates an archetype for each one. And, you know, there's like the experimental wolf, which is the version of the story in which, you know, Timothy McVeigh was, whether he was willing or not, or some degree otherwise, was, you know, essentially a, you know, experimental thing that they, whether it was MK Ultra or tech or some combination thereof, to essentially perpetrate a false flag attack against the government. Oh, that's or against the people. That's kind of the rough idea of that one. Just kind of laying down an idea of, and from there you gotta think like, what do you need to extrapolate? And then you have to kind of go into like MK Ultra. You have to go into all the different types of tech brain control that has been worked on by the CIA. Like, there's so much in this book, and she painstakingly kind of goes, I mean, not to the extent to where it overdoes it and it's like a mini book for each one, but actually kind of sometimes a little bit. They're like, it's almost like a, for those of you who are my theory crowd have read Anatomy of the State, and you guys know it's like a little booklet. Like, there are literally like kind of little Anatomy of the States, but for like MK Ultra or tech applications of brain control or what I'm trying to think of different ones top of my head, but like different little side rabbit holes that are actually very important stuff to understand if you're in this parapolitics world, that, you know, almost little Anatomy of the States within Aberration, you know, little, because I think what Anatomy of the State was something like 20 to 30 pages, so like that's, which is like a chunky chapter in a book, but you know, maybe even a little bit longer than that for some of this stuff. But I figured that we kind of peruse through the table of contents, and that'll probably also jog my memory on all the different things it goes through. But I'm going to scan through the chat real quick, check on you guys, see what you have to say. Dylan, hey man, the other day when you had Owen, I found an entire group of people that do 4 to 8 hour streams gang stalking him. I did an hour long video about it, especially one chick named Liz. It's nuts. Yeah, no, it's wild. And it let me, you know, send me, you follow me or whatever, send me that the video you did. I'd be interested to maybe, I mean, I'm not going to watch probably an hour of, maybe I will. I don't know. I guess it depends on how interesting it is. But yeah, I know the first time we had Owen on, we discovered this phenomenon. It was pretty interesting. It's wild. I mean, don't get me wrong. I get it. He can be controversial to some, but it is just wild the degree to let people this stuff control them. Although I guess there are people that claims or some sort of scams or something. I don't know. I've never really cared enough to look into the claims out there. I don't know. But it comes off as obsessive to me. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's some there. But I mean, am I going to in any time soon, you know, do a deep dive on this? Probably not. I mean, especially because it seems like there's probably so much lore and nonsense behind it. And it really always does seem to kind of come from like a, I don't know, maybe it's just the impression of getting almost like a hateful place, so, or like an attention-seeking place, I guess. That's just my impression. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he owns a piece of shit. I don't know. I'm not friends with him. I'm not friends with him either. He's cool enough, just so you guys know. I mean, this is like, people sometimes have a false perception of how rapport works around among content creators. Like, I don't, like, a lot of these people I've had on my show, like, for example, Dave Smith. I mean, the times I've had him show is probably about, is the vast majority of them, the communication I've had with him. And that's, I'm not saying that to say like it's a bad thing or anything. That's just how this game works. Like, I mean, I would consider him somewhere between an acquaintance and a friend, somewhere in there. I mean, acquaintance doesn't seem to quite do it, but like that's the degree that we've talked a few times. We've had some cool conversations. It's almost kind of weird because it's like you'll have like a conversation with someone, but then you're just kind of like, you guys just talk here and there, like every now and then. Like we've had some back and forth and like DMs and stuff. And yeah, I'm not saying I'm not like trying to get like more or anything. I'm just, if anything, I'm not a very talkative person too. So I'm just saying that's just kind of how rapport works in these. People get this false idea. So like, say you'll see people like, well, Owen will come on our show or something, and people will have these ideas on the kind of relationships we have with them, or the degree to which we should know things about these people. And you're like, dude, this is literally like an acquaintance. And like the degree to which you're expecting me to have some grasp of their personal life, or the fucking, I don't know, the, what's the word, like the, what's the, God, I'm struggling to think of the word, just the shit they've gone through, essentially. Like the idea that people have this expectation is a little ridiculous. Now, if I was like running a regular show with them, eh, okay, whatever, maybe. But anyways, yeah, it is weird. I know last time we had them on, we found one video that was, we just thought was funny. We all watched, we laughed about it. But yeah, I mean, whatever. I mean, good for Owen, honestly, though, like, because, I mean, that's the way to do it. I mean, you get to a point where you get big enough, people are upset about you, they are literally your best promoters. Like, that's just the nature of how, you know, things spread. So it's kind of wild. All right, let's go through that. They were the ones doing the spamming. Yeah. So, and see, think about that. Like, you're saying they were the ones doing the spamming in that stream. Like, think about how many views that added to us, how much that bumped us up in the algorithm, like how much that incentivized other content creators to want Owen to be on. I mean, I do get that there is like this opposite idea where people go like, they're like, oh, I don't want to have these people on, like say like a Fuentes or something. And I guess maybe to some degree I get it. If you're like really, really big established place and you're worried about, I don't know, things like sponsors or something. Luckily I have Nadeau, which is and I appreciate him. He's like a razor guy, and you know, like, but if he was ever like, hey, you can't talk about this, I'd be like, all right, kick rocks. Appreciate everything you've done. But like, I mean, I don't know. I'm not to the point where I'm wholly, you know, my whole life is devoted to one specific sponsor, and I'm not like, you know, crowdfunded. But and even then, like now, people are starting to get more and more crowdfunded because they see the fault in that. But yeah, because there is like, obviously there is like there's something to embracing that dynamic, and that like there are people hating, like you get something out of it, like that bumps you up in the algo. But there is the flip side. So it's almost like a good way to tell to what degree someone is controlled, I guess. Maybe that's not the greatest. Maybe I'm just thinking out loud a little bit here. Because you would think people would want to have these sorts of people on. Although, I guess, I don't know, that's not logical, I guess. There's some people just don't want to. Because, I mean, I'm not really too incentive-driven in so far as views, numbers. I mean, don't get me wrong, if someone huge came to me and, like, I don't want to come to the show, I'd be like, cool. But generally, I'm kind of attracted to the ideas. But it's kind of, in a certain roundabout way, I see that as the same thing, because it's like, if I'm not interested in someone or something, I have a hard time trying to make it interesting. So, I mean, if I bring on someone who's just a big name and I don't feel like I have something interesting to do there, I don't feel like I'm going to get the numbers or anything. What the fuck? Dude, they are going nuts. All right. Anyways, let's move on to the chat. Appreciate that, bud. Carl says, fire, fire, fire. Don't know why. She wrote a book from heroin to Christ, and the book summary is one of the most insane things I have ever read. Oh, this is a person that was, okay, from heroin to Christ. That's funny. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. My Savannah used to go into heat every 2 weeks, if not bread. Can slightly hear yours in the background. Okay, glad. Glad it seems to be worse for me than it is for you guys. Like, it's fucking driving me nuts. It's almost like when you hear like a baby cry, if someone who's had kids before. All right. You have no idea insane they are. They're literally finding his fans home and flying out to them. Jesus Christ. All right. Well, guys, if you try that, you're going to have some issues. Yep, the dude sucks. He deserves hate from Carpenter's Journey. All right. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. I don't really care enough to look into the lore. I don't fucking know. Owen sucks, but he's good for the show. Yeah, even if that's the case, sure, he's good for the show. I've never had a personal problem. He seems nice enough. I don't even think we're even Twitter mutuals or anything. So there you go. There's our friendship status. So I mean, not that I like hold it against him or anything. I'm not saying that in any way. It sounds gay when I have these conversations, but just so people have a clear idea of how this works, I am a nobody all the same, just like you guys. Jose looks like a member of Fall Out Boy this morning. Yeah, I've had a rough past like week and a half, and I'm tired. Oh, I didn't even go into it. My this literally in the past couple days, I've been like sleeping in like 2 or 3 hour increments because the old lady had a, and this is why there was actually a Spaces on a Josie or the Redhead Libertarians thing, and I wanted to go because I mean, for one, it's one of those things that's like be a stupid opportunity to pass up. She's a huge platform, and she's cool. I like her too. You know, I've hung out with her before. She's a nice lady. Just obviously it's a huge opportunity, and it was supposed to be like a promo for Bohemian Grove, which I wanted to, I asked Top to send me a promo, but I don't think he saw in time. But, yeah, just so you guys know, Bohemian Grove is happening this week or this Friday and Saturday, I believe the 25th and the 26th. So if you are near Summerfield, Florida, anywhere near it, and you feel like you can make it out during those times, go to, I believe it's at toplobster.com, or you can probably find one of us on Twitter or whatever, and we'll send you over the info. But we definitely love you guys to come out. But yeah, I ended up missing that because, it was like a Tower Gang type thing / other people going to Bohemian Grove event where we were doing a Spaces talking to everybody. But, the reason I bring it up is I ended up not being able to make it because this weekend, literally at my kid's soccer game, my wife had a seizure, which don't freak out. I'm not trying to get sympathy. It's like my wife's epileptic. I've dealt with this before. I've gone down this rodeo before. It is, I mean, most of the time we don't even end up going to the hospital because they don't do it. Like most of the time they don't do anything. Most seizures just, she has a seizure. Help her get her feet. She rests. Cause after most seizures, you have what's called a post-ictal period. And there's different types of seizures. The biggest one's usually what's called the grand mal. That's the big ones. And usually the bigger they are, the harder they fall kind of deal. So the worse the aftermath is, which is what's called the post-ictal period, which is where your mind's hazy and you're out of it and blah, blah, blah. Anyways, normally we just scoop her up, wherever, get her to a spot where she can rest, and then she's fine. This time, it was rougher than normal. She was, not able to keep food down and stuff, so we ended up being in the hospital and out the past couple days. But she's fine now. She's resting in the other. But anyways, point being, I am fucking, yeah, I know. I look homely. I got fucking, but the other option was my fucked up hair. So, I mean, this looks stupid. I look like some sort of weird zoomer or something trying some sort of style. So I just threw on a cap, the shitty cap I have. My hair is even shitty coming out the sides right now. Wearing my glasses. It is what it is, guys. I'm going through a lot. But, I wanted to get something in. I had some time at home. While the old lady's resting, she's good now. So I figured I'd talk to you guys. I mean, shit, we've been just chatting for like 30 minutes about random stuff, so I probably need to get into some content. But let me see. Let me keep going through this chat real quick. Dylan is now gang stalking the gang stalkers. I don't even know who Dylan is. Oh, yeah, the guy. Dylan. Never mind. I know who Dylan is. The guy up above. I forgot. In the chat. Yes. That's how he traps you. He seems nice when he needs you. I mean, yeah, sure, whatever. I mean, if you're gonna try to trap me, that's probably the way to do it. Be nice. I don't know. I don't know what to do with that. Someone's being nice to me. I'm not gonna like let my guard down for some acquaintance that was casually nice to me, if that's what you're getting at. I mean, I don't know. If he's being nice, that's good. I don't know. Yes. But if he starts being bad, then I don't know. Redress it. I don't know. I mean, this is like a meaningless nothingness to me because like I said, I'm just like very casual acquaintance. Jose, are you going to Bro Grove? Yeah, that's a plan. So long as the old lady doesn't fucking twitch out again. But yeah, I forgot the whole point that happened at her fucking soccer thing. That was kind of wild. I was coaching my kid's soccer, and then I remember seeing her off in the corner walking up to the, I say waddling because she was probably like, kind of out of it and tired. I didn't really get to see her. I was literally coaching and she went to the car, so I assumed she was gonna like, she was just wrapping up because the game was over. And then when me and the kiddo got over there looking, she wasn't in the car. She had like fucking twitched out in front of the car. So we had to like, and this is like kind of, there's almost like a ditch there too. So she like almost fell in the ditch. And so I had to like literally scoop her up into the car. So it probably looked like anyone passerby. I literally like killed my wife or something. Cause I'm just throwing like a dead weight body into my fucking slumped over into my fucking passenger seat.
But yeah, anyways, wild time. But yes, I am intend on going to Brogrove. I will be there Friday and Saturday. I believe they're planning on, the Tower Gang boys are planning on being there Thursday, maybe putting out some content. So keep an eye out there for you guys. They should be doing maybe some live streams or something for you guys on Thursday night. I won't be there Thursday night because, I have a family and shit and stuff to still. I'm essentially, as soon as, the normal day to day, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 type shit is done, I will be heading over to Summerfield on Friday. So I may be a little bit late. I'm not entirely sure when it starts, but I should be there like 6 or 7-ish, I would assume. So I don't know. I believe it's supposed to start around that time, but then I'll be there the rest of the time and leave on probably Sunday morning. So yeah, I should be there. So if you guys want to come and hang out, it'll be a good time. We got Jay Dyer. We got Paranoid American, Leonardo Joni. I mean, there's a bunch of people I'm not thinking of off the top of my head right now, but it'll be a fun time. If this is the type of stuff you like, whether it's Tower Gang, whether it's, stuff like I put out, like parapolitical type stuff, this will be a fun time for you. It's very much like conspiracy / comedy / irreverence, all together. So it'll be fun. Who gives a shit if you're dumb enough to give them money and expect anything from a streamer or influencer? You deserve what you get. No, don't tell them that. Give me your money, guys. sort of. I don't know. To some extent, I do try to give you guys something back, but to some extent, I guess there is something too if you expected anything from a streamer or influencer. I don't know. I guess you have to have realistic expectations. I'm going to try my best to give you guys value out of this, but also, understand when you throw a few shekels at a show, what are you expecting out of this except for, helping fund this process? I don't know. It's not like you're a mega donor. Imagine spending 8 hours streaming about Owen Benjamin and buying flights to Razz's fans. Damn, sorry to hear that. No, you guys, good. I would come. My wife is like, my wife's like 8.5 months pregnant. I thought you were saying I would come if your wife was seizing. I thought you were being silly. That's cool. You take care of your wife. That's a... And your family first. It's fine. Keep it casual. This is good advice. No, yeah, you're right. I believe. Yeah, yeah. See, I'm not like mad at this guy. I know some of you guys are, giving him a little bit of shit. But my nigga, what up? Super pumped for the morning streams to come back. Yeah, no. It's glad to be. I'm glad to be back. I was hoping I would have got some more in during the hurricane stuff. I was really, really, really gunning for that. I guess I would prefer to just did nothing, but I was kind of hoping that it maybe kind of put in a situation to where there was no work and a lot of things were down, but we still had power. That's kind of what I was going for. Because if I had been stuck at home with power, but pretty much the outside world is shut down because gas isn't working, power's, down at a lot of places. But I had power and still had internet, and I was like, hell yeah, I was going to knock out a bunch of them. But nope, I was pretty much out of power the entire time. So here I am. I figured, that's part of why I wanted to knock out a morning stream today, just to shoot the shit with you guys. Hello for Demnark. Hello, IB. My nigga, what? Oh yeah, you already said that. Are there still tickets for Saturday? I'm thinking of going. I guarantee you there are still tickets. You hop on that. Sorry, Jose, it's not what I meant. I was talking about the money they sent for Bear Terry. No, you're good. I'm just being silly. Because it's obviously, if I was like, yeah, you should be giving them any money, it's like, well, obviously, I'm asking you guys for money. But no, I feel like I'm not very grifty. I should probably almost honestly be a little bit more grifty. I'm not grifty enough. But yeah, people are giving me shit. I forgot to care about, Owen Monkeys when I realized he was a bitch. Okay, I don't know. Maybe he is. I don't really know him too well. He seems all right to me. But, all right, yeah, like I said, I want to go through Aberration of the Heartland Reel, kind of just go through the table of contents. For example, it already in the prologue, it's already talked about John Doe 2. Narrative types and recurring depictions. That's one of the first things it goes into, which is what I was trying to get into with you guys. So story one, the lone wolf, which is the concept, that just kind of the generic lone wolf. A lot of things can fit inside of that. I mean, when I say lone wolf, obviously the context here is the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, a lot of people will, say when, because the official narrative, generally speaking, is lone wolf when it comes to Timothy McVeigh. Now, what a lot of people will say is that's not true because Terry Nichols or whatever. And it's Terry Nichols, per the official narrative, had like a support role, was not there at the time. I forget exactly where he was at. He was elsewhere at the period when the time the bombing happened. Not around at all. It seems like he was like a support role, you know, helped out maybe in the early stages. That's about it. But so far as the actual implementation at the time, as opposed to like a secondary support role, that's the official narrative. So essentially the official narrative is Timothy McVeigh, with the help of, you know, some very loose support from Terry Nichols, essentially drove up a truck bomb to the Murrow Federal Building, right before 9, essentially, and blew that sucker up. That's the official narrative. Now, stories 2 and 3, the pack of wolves and those closely watched. Now, pack of wolves. All right, obviously that is kind of, now this is starting to get into where it gets to where I would say is probably a little bit more accurate. Pack of Wolves is the narrative type when it comes to Oklahoma City bombing of the idea that there were other people involved. Now this is, right now I'm reading Bad Company, and this goes into, you know, the primary people are talking about when they say other people involved. This is the Aryan Republic Army. Now there are obviously different variations. There's some people who like to lean into the Middle East connection. I don't really put a ton of stock into it, although I'll be honest, I'm not on the greatest footing to argue against someone on that. It just kind of seems suspicious to me, but generally speaking, it just means he had help. Is what that means, and it's fairly significant help, not just like Terry Nichols type help. And those closely watch, and then the closely watch, I think, is like alluding to the fact that now not only is there a pack of wolves, or even a lone wolf, I think it can fit into that as well. It's the idea of closely watch, meaning there was some sort of outside influence, you know, i.e., intel that was kind of keeping an eye on things to make sure they went along the way they wanted. Now, obviously, this narrative type can have a degree of guilt for those that did it, or it's, how do I put this? Anyways, point being is this is like in a degree of knowledge of what was meant to be happened. So like it could be those closely watched and those that carried out the attack didn't even know about those that were watching them. So, or it can be to the degree that they were being directly controlled, essentially. Then we have story 4, which is the guilty agent. This is where, you know, Timothy McVeigh, the primary version of this narrative type would be the one where, like, Timothy McVeigh is a, you know, kind of a, was sheep dipped and was some sort of secret government agent, and he became he essentially carried out the Oklahoma City bombing, at the behest of the government or some, you know, nefarious entity of some sort. Now that would be that one. And there's story 5. The experimental wolf, and that is the variation of all of this where this can vary through them, where Timothy McVeigh has been essentially experimented on, whether, and that could be to various ends, but usually implying something to do with blowing up the, you know, the Oklahoma City bombing. So this is where we get into some of the tech stuff. And then, you know, chapter 1 on becoming John Rambo, she goes into the background of McVeigh in this chapter, all that, you know, you learn a lot about him, about the younger before he joined the military primarily. And then chapter 2, the falling records do not exist. Now this is really interesting stuff. This is where we get into his time in the military, basic training, you know, all the things he went through. I'm not going to try to list this off. I'd have to do an episode and kind of come up with a bullet point thing for you to really do justice for this one through all the things he went through. But dude saw some shit. Like, he saw a lot of shit. And by the way, I meant to mention with the guilty agent / experimental wolf thing, there's a lot of weird shit there. And this is where, you know, you start to get into that, where there is something to that. For example, which I'm assuming this is getting into chapter 2. Maybe it comes into chapter 3. I think it's chapter 3 it gets into this. But, never mind. It is still chapter 2 because it's all broken into parts. He did the official narrative is he went and did special forces training. Now the thing is, he did send a letter, and this is legit. He sent a letter to his sister, essentially saying that the official narrative, he's washed out of the special ops, but what he told his sister in a letter, and he did tell other people, you know, some variations of this or the exact same thing, that, but, you know, the primary one people point to is the letter, because that's probably the best, you know, source you're going to be able to get, of him talking to his sister and her saying or him saying that he didn't wash out. What happened is he was pulled aside, him and a few other ones, and they said, hey, we're looking for guys to drop out, quote unquote, of the military and join our secret unit and do, you know, spook things, essentially. I mean, that's putting it very simply. I think I actually read it to you guys a while back. Yeah, I did. I read it. So you guys can, I don't remember which stream that was on, but that's the long and short of it, essentially implying this guy may have been some sort of government agent. Now, you can dispute that. You can say he was crazy. He was trying to impress his sister, whatever. I don't know how you really can dispute that the letter exists and that he at one point said that. So, all right. And then on the experimental wolf side things, when you get into his time in the military, you really start to see some of the weird shit happened. Like the one that most people point to is the insane amount of dental visits he had, you know, that was on, you know, there were, you know, records of, like, so, and then, you know, there's more to that too. So the idea that, like, did they put trackers in his teeth or were they conducting MK Ultra stuff or blah, 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 you know, and they kind of explore those, that speculation as well without coming to any sort of conclusions. All right. Then chapter 3 is Ameranoid, and that's when they get into his time after, and this is, you know, post-rape, post-washout, because there's a period of time before the Oklahoma City bombing and after his washout of the military. This is when he got out of the military and, you know, washed out of, quote-unquote, washout of Special Forces, that he then goes back home. He does a time, and I believe in the Guard, maybe it was the Reserves, I forget which, they're kind of the same thing to me. I believe it was the Guard in Buffalo, and he, you know, for a period of time he was doing that. He ended up getting out of that. Anyways, this portion goes through that time he worked. There was a lot of spooky things he was doing during that period of time. I'll put it that way. Like, if you're someone who hangs out in the parapolitical world, there are a lot of things that will raise your eyes. Like, really? This dude worked for Caltech? He was a security guard for this spook agency? Oh, he did this? Oh, he did that? It gets weird. I mean, that's all I can say. I mean, there's nothing that I can recall offhand that was conclusive, but it gets weird and goes into a lot of that in that. And then, like I said, throughout all of this, I mean, you think about all the different the ideas that we went through there and all the different breaking down there is to do to make it comprehensive for an audience that maybe hasn't read anything about parapolitical stuff and is all new to them. That's what this basically is. Like, she does a really good job of breaking all of this down. Like, within the Ameranoid one, that's when they get into, I believe, like, mind control and, like, Dr. West, like, or, like, Jolly West, you know, the MK Ultra, robots, you know, stuff like AI or, you know, war, you know, messing with people's minds with ELF. There's also, at one point, she goes into all the different, like, lone wolves that there have been in the past few decades. Point being is, like, I mean, I just kind of really gave the broad strokes, but within each one of those ideas, she breaks down every little thing, like, mentioning experimental wolf. Like, she's not just going to breeze over, oh, and we thought maybe they did some crazy experiments on them. Like, no, she at some point throughout the book goes painstakingly and brings you the sources of, like, oh yeah, well, the CIA in 1942 had a patent for blah 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 or whatever the fuck. Like, that is the kind of stuff. And also a big thing in this book, and people bring this up all the time, the end, like the notes, the bibliography, all that is so extensive. Like, I read all the notes, like everything, because, like, that's how good the information is in there. Like, I've said for a while, and I don't think this is a original idea of mine. I don't remember where I heard it, but this book, in my opinion, is kind of like the natural follow-up to Chaos. So, which is kind of like a big thing of why, like, for those who follow, you know, watched, you know, these previous ones or follow my Twitter, you saw I sent, like, that Manect message to Candace Owens, and she sent me a video back, kind of talking about how she was suspicious about possible MK Ultra connections with Timothy McVeigh and kind of applying that to Dahmer. And, you know, she's obviously been, anyone been paying attention to her show, she's been talking a lot about Chaos. And, I mean, that was kind of my progression, is I went Chaos, and I believe probably the next biggest one after that was Aberration of the Heartland of the Real. I want to say it was, like, Terror Factory, if I'm, like, trying to, like, figure out, like, how I went down this parapolitical road and, like, just looking at, like, literature at least. It would probably be like Terror Factory, then Chaos, and then now I'm at, and then Aberration, and then after that, Program to Kill. That's when it gets start getting weird, and then after that, Eye of the Chicken Hawk, which just recently came out, so that you could see how dark that road is. But either way, she's going down this road And I think this is likely. I really think this is the book we need to push on people, not even just her, just people like her that are at that stage of their development, essentially. Like, that's the book. That's the next one. Like, I mean, after Chaos, like, if you accepted the ideas of Chaos and you're like, oh, shit, and your paradigm was fucking blasted, well, get ready to blast off again with Aberration in the Heartland of the Real. That's my suggestion. So, I just want to take a moment to kind of break down why it's so good and try to do it in a semi-cohesive way. Let me scroll through the chat again real quick. Greetings, bigots. No bigots here, pal. Well, it depends, I guess, about what are we bigoted against? I guess I am bigoted against all sorts of things. If you're not a bigot, you're not thinking. There's got to be something you don't like. Did you ever read about Operation Red Dog, where the government was allowing white supremacist gangs to train in Central America? There was a really odd loose connection, whether true or false, about Ron Paul. I feel like I vaguely recall someone bringing up that before, but I don't know. I don't know. Can't say I recall. I mean, maybe I have read it and it's just not ringing a bell. Morning stream, let's fucking go. Biblical Anarchy podcast. Yeah, hell yeah, guys. Definitely go check out his podcast. He did a good breakdown of Constantine Kissin's. I know Dave shared Keith Knight's, which I'm sure was great, but I haven't watched it. But I've watched Biblical Anarchies, and that one was good. I can only do so many breakdowns of things, and I'm sure Dave will probably do another one as well. So sorry, Keith, probably won't watch yours, but I'm sure it's great. Maybe I will. I don't know. I like Constantine's kind of a smug cunt, and so I kind of like seeing people bring him down logically, just a notch. It's nice. They tried to take over Barbados and Dominica and make a new white country in the Caribbean. Holy shit, that lady found my video. Hell yeah, dude. That's great. Now, she commented, every villain is... What? Every villain is lemons. Is that a book? Every villain is lemons? I'm assuming that might have to relate to what what we were just talking about with... But yeah, I don't know. I mean, if that's a book, I mean, I haven't heard of it. But I mean, if you're adding it to... I don't know, I'm interested. I'm subbed to Biblical Anarchy, as should you all. I am bigot against British intellectuals. Yeah, most of the time they're not very smart. That was the most astounding thing about this. This motherfucker, Constantine Kissin, is dumb as shit. I mean, okay, I wouldn't say dumb as shit. Like, the thing is, though, that really, really annoys me is that this breakdown he recently did, like, all right, there's been these, like, response videos for those who aren't in the know. He put out some video about, like, a while back, but, like, I'm on the fence about Israel, Gaza, blah, 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 blah. And then Dave Smith, you know, the homie, he did a response, and it was really good, and I recommend it. And then kind of eviscerated Constantine, and then Constantine did a response to his response. And then this is what I was referring to, what, you know, Keith Knight has already done a response to, and my buddy over here, sponsor of the show, Biblical Anarchy Podcast. He said he's what we call intelligently retarded. Yes, he's like, what he does in this is he exposes, I guess, I don't know if you necessarily say a midwit or what, but just the lack of fundamental understanding he has in this realm. And I don't mean that to be condescending. I am by no means an intellectual. I try a little bit here and there, but I it's not, I don't know. I don't really see myself that way. But, like, this guy doesn't understand, like, basic logic shit. Like, he was starting off, like, his big thing was, like, he literally started the first one off with, like, something along...
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the Reproductive Rights Amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed Issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin, too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF, Donnelly Stewart Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue one last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
Lines of like, we're going to bring these arguments down to first principles. And this is how you know I'm being objective. And this is how you know I'm making the objective blah, 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 blah. So it was almost like this, like, because I'm applying proper logic 101, da, 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 you can know that my conclusions are sound and logical. So he does this whole rigmarole, this whole aside to qualify his argument, to say how, essentially to preface it with how fucking bulletproof it is, essentially, and then he completely fumbles the bag immediately on the very concept of what's supposed to uphold the sanctity of his fucking argument. Like, it's like, because the whole thing is like, well, this is first principles. Doesn't mention a single first principle. Barely even mentions something you could consider principles. The best, I believe Dave construed that maybe he meant like a social contract, which is like, that's like, I don't know, fucking 12 principles removed from a first principle, dude. Like, it's not even that I'm saying I'm like lofty, like I've gone, I'm advanced logic. It's just like, this is basic shit. Like this is basic, like, I don't know, coming to a logical, moral understanding of your world type stuff. Like, if you've even just dipped your toes in, like, I don't know, atheist versus theist arguments or any sort of logical realms that people like to do these logic-based arguments, you know that's fucking retarded. I mean, I don't know. That's just the first thing starting off, and then he doubles down even more, showing he doesn't know. But then he's intelligently retarded. That's a great way to put it. He doesn't know basics, but he likes to talk a bunch, and he kind of sounds smart, and people think, yeah, damn Jose, the ego on you, shit, yeah. Why does Jose look like a meathead Peter Griffin? I do kind of, don't I? I see it. That's nice. Glad you're okay, Jose. Thanks, P-Nord. All right, guys, I want to get into another article. I haven't had a chance to read that, but it's the newest on the saga of Jesse Trinidu and what's going on in the Oklahoma City bombing. By the way, I saw that I got raided by Nephilim Death Squad. Appreciate that, my boys. Hello, retards. Hello, good morning. Morning, homosexuality. A bunch of good mornings. Good morning, you all, guy. Good morning. And sexist, good morning. Kyson is an annoying head. Yeah. So I appreciate you guys who showed up. Can you see other rounds of the prescription? Yeah, this is bad. I literally, for those who aren't aware, I mean, I guess I don't sound like it's something, this would be the place to talk about this sort of dumb shit. Pretty much like maybe 3 inches, maybe 4, but past my face, all blurry. Like, I have probably some of the worst eyes you could ever imagine. I'm literally going to be the old man from Up when I'm an old man. I'm already basically there. Just letting you know, good thing. I consider Jose a modern Schopenhauer. I don't even know who Schopenhauer is. I'll have to look that up later. This is the latest in the... Oh, yeah, I was mentioning that Nephilim Death Squad rated. Appreciate it, guys. I appreciate you doing that. One of these days when I figure it out, I will do it. Someone says I like the lighting. I don't know if that's sarcasm, if I just have really bad lighting, because I literally just have one backlight and then just my shitty house lighting. So, I don't know. Maybe it's good lighting. I do have a lot of windows, so I guess it is... I don't know. I think it looks nice. Once I figure out how to do raids at some point, maybe I'll raid you guys. But I appreciate that, Raven. I know that was you doing your old timeline cleanse, which is kind of your Nephilim Death Squad version of what I'm doing it here. So, someone says you do it through YouTube Studio. I'm in StreamYard Studio. I'm not going over YouTube Studio. You guys are out of your mind. But all right, let's go ahead and bring up that article. And I'll read it to you guys. Bombshell court filing accuses FBI of seeking 50-year cover-up of OKC bomb records. All right, I'm not going to read the thing because it's just a quote within it. This is from the buddy, my homie Ken Silva. Utah attorney Jesse Trinidu has accused the FBI of seeking a 50-year cover-up in its role. Cover up of its role in the Oklahoma City bombing, a latest court filing in a long-running Freedom of Information Act lawsuit. Trinidu's FOIA lawsuit against the FBI seeks records about Roger Edward Moore, who was a CIA asset, an FBI informant, and a business associate to OKC bomber Tim McVeigh, as well as for records about the Aryan Republican Army, Oh, I think I might have got sidetracked, and I was meaning to mention that earlier. Yeah, I'm reading a book about the Aryan Republican Army right now. Just so you guys know, I meant to go on it on the side, and I think I got distracted by something else. But yeah, Aryan Republican Army, I've been reading about that. That is the pack of wolves that I was getting at earlier when we were talking about the different narrative types. That would fit into the pack of wolves is the Aryan Republican Army. This is Michael Brescia, Scott Stediford, was it Kevin McCarthy? Yeah, I think so. Peter Kevin Langan, which is the guy, one of the people who's still, you know, around that probably knows who John Doe 2 is, who's literally a tranny in federal prison right now, which is bizarre, as he's literally part of like an Aryan Republican army, Aryan being the key word. Michael Brescia, Richard Lee Guthrie. Now this is this group that we're, you know, kind of robbing. So, I mean, obviously he's about to explain it in a second, but that's what I was getting at earlier. But anyways, an FBI informant and business associate to OKC, as well as records for the Aryan Republican Army, a neo-Nazi bank robbery gang also involved in the attack. Well, good for you. I'm glad he like strip said that. Cause that is like the thing most people haven't said, but Ken has done so much work that he can back that up. In response to his lawsuit, the FBI has given several batches of OKC bomb records to him this year. However, none of those records are related to trying to do specific requests, he said in this Tuesday filing. Yeah, they do this shit to him. I believe, if I recall correctly, one of the times when he was trying to get surveillance records or surveillance video records, they sent him some eventually after, you know, a long, you know, back and forth, he finally got some, but then they, you know, cut out at, was it 9:02, I believe the bomb happened at 9:02, if I recall correctly. But anyways, point being is it like cut out like a minute before or right at the moment. So you didn't actually see the bombing. So it's like, oh, wow, how convenient. So obviously point being is they clearly cut that out. So they do this shit to you. You ask for records and like, you mean this record? And record has nothing to do with it. They just do every little thing to drag their feet and like, you know, bog you down in paperwork or unimportant things or this or that, or, you know, just to fuck with you. That's what they do. There was not a single document produced to plaintiff that was responsive to either of his FOIA requests. Trendu wrote, here's a tweet from Ken Jesse. Boo, 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 boo. All right. Trendu also noted that the FBI has withheld 453 pages from him on privacy grounds, even though the subjects of his request, Moore and McVeigh, are both dead. Yeah, so the idea that you could be like, oh no, we're not going to grant you your FOIA request for privacy grounds, no, that's retarded. Roger Moore, which I mean, I'm not going to try to explain. I might even explain it in this article for all I know. I'm not going to try to explain to you who Moore is. You guys should go check out my Oklahoma City bombing playlist. I've already, you know, rattled off enough Oklahoma City stuff today. But essentially, Moore was another person who very much glows very, very hard. Anyways, furthermore, he said, which, yeah, you know what? I am about to get into that. Furthermore, he said the FBI is producing records at a snail's pace. The FBI has admitted it holds 36,795 pages of documents about Moore and the Oklahoma City /ARA links, but wants until 2036 produce them all. Worse still, the FBI doesn't want the court to review whether it's complied with Trendu's FOIA request until 2036, Trendu add. For those who aren't aware, Trendu's kind of an older fella. I really kind of doubt he... I mean, maybe he'll make another 12 years, but I don't know. I mean, that's a long time. And also the idea that you should wait 12 years to get this sort of information is insane. By asking the court to not consider the lawfulness of Bureau's withholding of these incriminating documents until the year 2036, the FBI is asking the court to become a party to what is intended to be and will be a 50-year cover-up of the FBI's heretofore secret role in the Oklahoma City bombing, Trendu concluded. Yeah, it's going about to be 30 years here soon. 30 years in April 19th, I believe. Yep. The coming April will be 30 years, yep. So we're coming up on 30 years, but by the time, you know, if we're waiting until 2036, we'll be damn near 50 at that point. It might even be, no, I don't know where he's getting 50 from. Okay, maybe I'm doing bad math somewhere. But what the FBI is asking the court to do is also both outrageous and a law unlawful, because unreasonable delays in disclosing non-exempt documents violate the intent and purpose of the FOIA. And the courts have a duty to prevent these abuses. Yeah, I mean, you would think this would matter. I believe their argument in prior articles I've read in this was that they have so much other stuff to go to, but it's like, I don't know, for one, tough luck. I mean, then two, it's like, okay, well, I don't know. This is kind of like literally the 9/11 before 9/11. So, like, I don't know, kind of a big deal. Like, why haven't you just released this shit already on your own? Like, this would be, should, you would think that the public would have a need to know here. Especially since we're at a point where everyone is, most people are dead associated with this. At least the major players. There's only a few alive. I mean, the only people who, like, I bet you there's probably people for the cover-up side that are still alive, and that's probably why this shit isn't coming out. But, I don't know, there's a lot of people with blood on their hands when it comes to the Oklahoma City bombing, which I've covered extensively. And, yeah, we need this information to come out so we can know who these people are. But they're likely going to try to drag their feet until, to kind of minimize the impact to the greatest degree. But the intel community, these people hang on like leeches, so, and then, you know, and even then, on top of that, then these people, you know, groom up their replacements who follow the same traditions as they do, and, you know, then and so on and so forth. And then that person goes up the rank. So, I mean, shit. What, Merrick Garland was like one of the key people presiding over McVeigh's trial, and yeah, isn't he currently our attorney general? Yeah, like so, like that's a great example of what I'm talking about. There are people in high spaces or still in these entities that, you know, have reasons that don't that, to not want this stuff to come out. All right. Trying to do now seeks to have the presiding judge order the FBI to compile a Vaughn index, which would describe and identify each document being withheld, state the statutory exemption claim for that document, and give a detailed explanation as to how disclosure of that particular document would damage the interest protected by the claimed exemption. It's not clear when the judge will rule on Trinity's motion. All right. Well, that's the latest in the crusade of Trinity. All right. Let's check out what's going on in the chat. Looks like a real house. Oh, yeah, that's what you're saying about the lighting. Yeah, it's a real house. It's a nice house. I like my house. Yeah. That's awesome. Mine's not crazy. You do the. Oh, yeah. Well wishes to Miss Jose. Tell her to take care of herself. Yeah. Jose Raven was wondering where your mic arm is broken. No, I moved. Okay, well, I have my mic arm set up in the. I need to get one of those desk ones. That's what I need to do. I don't have one of the desk ones. I have an arm. But in the. Like, the whole point of these morning streams is like. My wife's sleeping in the other room, or like, you know, so I come out here because my wife usually works nights and is usually sleeping in the other room. So it's like, if I was wanted to do produce content during the day, I would have to come out here. And I feel like out here, it's kind of more chill vibes. It's more of like, it's good. Just do a stream, just kind of go through some articles, stuff like that. Shoot the shit with you guys, audience interaction. But point being is the arm is in my normal studio that I do my normal No Way Jose episodes. And that cocksucker is like, perfectly on the way I want it on my thing, and I don't really have to want to take off the arm on and off. That's annoying. It's easier for me to just, oops, sorry, I hit my thing, to hold it until I stop forgetting to go and buy what's probably only like a $15-$20 desk thingy, if I had to guess. I mean, how expensive can a little tripod plastic doodad with some metal pieces that screws into this really be? I don't know. All right, why does no one use OBS? Because I'm lazy, and I don't know anything about technological things. We've started using OBS, I believe, on Tower Gang a little bit. So they go the easiest option. Yeah. If I was trying to figure out OBS, I just never would have done a podcast. Jorking it freaky style right now. Hell yeah, brother. I get it. No sense of moving it back and forth. Yeah. So, I mean, at some point I'm going to buy one of the little desk ones so then I can have my other hand open. That definitely would have been better when I was messing with the book and stuff. And also so that way I can click on things and, you know, bring stuff up. You have a small tripod for your camera, probably be compatible. Yeah. You know what? You're actually probably right. But then now what do I do with the camera? Oh, you know what? I bet you I could just prop that. You fucking little You know what? Actually, I don't know. I'm looking at that screw-in thingy on the camera, and I don't think it's going to... I'm going to have to try that, though. That's a good suggestion. It just doesn't look like it'd be long enough. But I don't know. Either way. All right, where are we at? We're at an hour and 1 minute. What do you say? Let's want to knock out one more. I had two other threads for you guys, but I'm trying to get out here a little early. I'm tired. I'm exhausted, guys. But I did want to talk to you guys, check in with y'all, let you know I'm still here. I still care about you. But there's a thread in here about Program to Kill that I figured might be interesting. I also had one about Christopher Columbus from Foundering. At Foundering1, which, by the way, you guys need to go hit him up on social media if you're on Twitter. Tell him to come on the fucking show. I want to have him on the live show. Never messaged me back. He messaged me and initially said, yeah, he was down. And I don't know if he just got lost in the shuffle. I know how it is with messages and notifications. Sometimes you accidentally forget to check them, or you do check them and now it shows it's red later. I know how it is when you have a semi-larger account where you're like, you know, things could get lost in the shuffle. So you guys let him know on Twitter. Say, hey, go on fucking Already Dead. Go on with Jose. But yeah, I was going to read one of his threads, but I don't think we have time for that one. So, and it's more topical, since I did mention Program to Kill and kind of the natural progression that we go down in this spooky parapolitical realm, you know, kind of like the terror factory to chaos to aberration to Program to Kill to Eye of the Chicken Hawks. So this is a thread about Program to Kill. I figured it'd be interesting to read. Now, this will probably demonetize me to hell. Due to the content, but I'll try to switch words, make it a little, I'll do my best. I'm going to do things like say CP instead. You guys know what I mean. All right, let's bring this up real quick. Oh, let's exit out of that. Give me a second, guys. All right, here we go. I have, this is from Lena Ajit. Lena I don't follow this person. They're fairly new here. Like here, I'll stay a while. So I don't know. I'm not nothing about this person. I just found this. This happened to show up my feed. I found it interesting. Maybe I should just give him a follow, just because I am. Man, why not? Although I will tell you, I'm following her right now. There you go. I just followed you. Now if you don't follow me back, Lena, I'll give you a little while. I'm following. Although I don't know, maybe not. I'll have to scroll through your account later and see if it's worthwhile. I will let you guys know. I am kind of a whore when it comes to following. Like if you don't follow me back. Like, if I follow you, and you, like, first, and you don't follow me back, I'm going to unfollow at some point. I got to have a good ratio. I'm sorry. Just is what it is. Unless there is something that really brings me a lot of value, that's something you have. Now, like, say if I find other threads like this one, and maybe I'll be like, oh, well, shit, I'm going to follow her. But very rarely do I follow someone that doesn't follow me back. And if I do, it's because you're really putting out amazing content that I find useful. So, I don't know. I followed you. So, I liked this thread. I skimmed through it really, really quickly. Before, but I don't know how much to what degree I actually do like it, because I only skimmed it. I'm just now going through it with you guys. I just saw some keywords. I was like, oh shit, this is stuff I like to talk about. All right. Like most who have read Dave McGowan's Program to Kill, I was generally aware of the ritual child abuse scandal at the West Point Child Development Center, but was somewhat stymied in learning more about it by the lack of publicly available records and rather sparse reporting. Now, I will tell you, I don't remember a lot of this, so I'll be leaning on this. Well, I don't remember specifically the West Point one, but I'll probably start picking up some of the stuff I covered before, when I read it. But kind of like riding a bike. But as far as I've seen, the identities of the abusers remain private, even in civil litigation. Court documents identify the abusers as X or Y. Articles from the time mention vaguely two female teachers' aides suspended from their duties at the development center. The only person I found so far reported on and actually named as a purported PDF, I guess, involved in the West Point ritual abuse scandal was Mark Raymond. In 1986, Raymond was formally accused by West Point of a colleague's two male children at a Army retirement party. West Point's Criminal Investigation Division had apparently also linked Raymond to the Child Development Center scandal back in 1984. Now, I believe we'll probably get into this, but if I recall correctly, this is one of the ones I believe got kind of shuffled under the floor as Satanic Panic. All right, it's a Child Development Center scandal, and then later, obviously, then they find out this guy got busted for something else later, and he was being accused of stuff before. All right, if I'm recalling correctly, which is, obviously, we're going through this thread. As the Child Development scandal was unfolding in 1984, U.S. Postal and Customs Inspectors seized child, or CP, addressed to Raymond at West Point. Raymond complained in 1986 he was being persecuted by the Army for fitting the Army's idea of a child abuser. And see, here's an article. Soldier faces trial then child case. Yep. I don't know if there's anything worth going into with that. Whatever. Let's read through it. The U.S. Military Academy has accused enlisted men of two male children, and a West Point report also links the man to 1984 allegations of not nice stuff at the Academy's Child Care Center. Spec 4, Mark Raymond, 36, on Monday, faces a general court-martial. Yeah, I was prior Air Force, I'm an Army, so I don't know what the fuck a Spec 4 means. Specialist 4, Mark? I don't know what the 4 is. All right, anyways, on Monday, faces a general court-martial, the Army's highest disciplinary action on two counts of indecent acts or liberties with a child. One of Raymond's co-workers charges that Raymond fondled his sons age 5 and 13. Neither the co-worker or his wife witnessed the alleged actions, but say their children would discuss them later. Raymond had previously babysat for the family. A report by West Point's Criminal Investigation Division also links Raymond to the NAMBLA, North American Man-Boy Love Association. Raymond says he did not intentionally touch either of the children intentionally. He also denies any association with either the closed daycare case or NAMBLA. If Raymond is convicted, he could face up to 7 years in prison on each count, total forfeiture of pay and allowances, and a dishonorable discharge. Raymond, who worked in West Point's PA's office, was voluntarily transferred to another division after the charges were filed earlier this month. He complains as being persecuted because he fits there, the Army's idea of a child abuser. I have a brother who's gay, who is in NAMBLA. I'm separated from my wife. I've been involved with youth organizations and spent time with children. He told the Middletown Times Herald Record last week. Raymond's brother, who asked not to be identified, said NAMBLA advocates deleting an age of consent from laws restricting any activity, including allowing children to consent to with adults. He told the Times Herald Record he had sent his brother NAMBLA publications to show what the group was doing. Oh, okay. So that's, I guess, one of the things that they got. He was sending NAMBLA stuff to his brother. But he's like, oh, I'm just showing you what they're doing, which this is, what, 1986? Is that what they said earlier, I believe? I think I saw that in there somewhere. That's all right. Anyways, point being is weird. I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm just trying to say the way it was probably through the mail, I would assume. So like, it's not like we have the internet like we do now. So I mean, it's not like you sent them over an article saying, like, look what NAMBLA's doing. I don't know. Maybe it did. Do benefit of the doubt. And Raymond said he threw the material away. The West Point report says FBI agent Carl Amaditz reported receiving information tying Raymond to the case at the West Point Child Development Center 2 years ago. This information came from U.S. Postal and Customs inspectors who had seized CP addressed Raymond at West Point, the report said, without elaboration. All right, let's keep going. Notably, all right, I'm not going to read all of these articles. I don't know why. I probably shouldn't have even done that one. Notably, Mark, Raymond's brother, who asked not to be identified while coming to his brother's Mark's defense and whose identity is not terribly difficult to deduce, was reportedly a national spokesman for NAMBLA and had kindly gifted his brother, Mark, a NAMBLA subscription. All right, there's another article there. Enlisted man to stand trial on West Point sexual abuse. Mark Raymond's brother, Steve Raymond, spelled interchangeably in newspapers, was the head of NAMBLA's steering committee, and according to Glenn Pamphiloff, inspector of the juvenile division of San Fran Police Department, the guy who was running the show. All right, so they're saying that supposedly this guy's brother was a dude running the show for NAMBLA. A little background, the Raymond brothers were from Ukiah, California. Their father, Reverend Fern Raymond, was the pastor for the First Methodist Church there. All right, getting weird. Both Raymond's brothers involved themselves early in the Boy Scouts, youth camps, needy orphanages, big brothers, etc. Oh, that all is all right. I mean, don't get me wrong, that's all like perfectly also innocent stuff, but if you're already, you know, looking at these sorts of connections, this dark stuff, it gets... If you've gone down these dark roads, you know what all that is implying. But yeah, it also could be perfectly innocent. In the 70s, Steve Raymond, future steering committee head of NAMBLA, established Project Orphan. All right, so this guy, who was the future steering committee head of NAMBLA, the guy they say that was running the show, he established Project Orphan, Inc. And this is a guy who is the brother of the dude in this West Point scandal that had also been, you know, implied to be involved in a child care scandal, you know, a couple of years prior to that too. All right, that's that guy. In an effort to raise funds for building an orphanage at San Cristobal de las Casas in Chiapas, Raymond attempted a 1,700-mile hike to Chihuahua, with Boy Scouts in tow. This is very much Eye of the Chicken Hawk type stuff here, too. There were a lot of, when you do dig into that weird world, you find a lot of the trafficking happens through orphanages or other sorts of entities that have kids, whether it's an orphanage, a boys program, a boarding school, whatever. There's all different ones. To make matters more sinister, it was reported in local newspapers that a mysterious, unnamed, wealthy Mexican businessman had donated the land and buildings to be used for Stephen Raymond's Project Orphan Incorporated. Okay. So they got a lot of weird seed money. I don't know. And there's an article there. I'm not reading it. See if there's anything. I'm trying to skim through that. See if there's anything worthwhile. All right. No. All right. Don't think too closely about how Raymond's failed orphanage project in San Cristobal, which Raymond also claimed was already operating, raised some $10K. Only $6K was dispersed to Project Concern, an all-girl orphanage in Tijuana. All right. So they raised $10K. And what is this? The... I don't know what the year is on this. The 70s. So, okay, they raised $10K in the 70s. All right. How is a orphanage raising money? I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming this is a lot on the patronage of others, I'd assume. Although, I don't know. I don't know what to extrapolate from that. Don't think too closely either, but a quasi-advertisement for a Chihuahuan boy, Steve Raymond, and his mother, Ruth Raymond, put out in a local Santa Rosa newspaper for a Chihuahua boy. All right, geez. Well, I might read this one real quick. Home needed Steve Raymond, who has been mentioned before in this column, noting his youth activities in this area and is going to Mexico and already getting a youth group going there. He writes, "I have run across a problem that possibly you can help me with. The problem concerns Daniel, age 12, a foster son of a Methodist missionary in Chihuahua, Mexico." All right, I definitely fucked that up. "He says the boy was dropped in her lap some 4 years ago. Daniel has no formal education. Says Steve, the boy's..." What is this? Says, S-E-Z. Is this like old-timey speak? Were they doing this in the 70s? What the hell? "The boy has a fantastic personality." I guess it'll just be like a local personals type thing. Or... "Boy has a fantastic personality, is always smiling, but he cannot read and speaks very little English. She, the missionary, would like to have him learn English and how to read at the same time. She does not have very much money. She lives and feeds 10 people on some $200 a month, but she will try to help with expenses if there's a family or private school that might help him. Daniel interested? Write to Steve Raymond." She's not having, I'm confused with this even asking. A quasi-advertisement. Oh, yeah, this is weird. Yeah, because I thought they were like literally looking for people, but no, this is... Oh, this is more like Eye of the Chicken Hawk type stuff where it's almost like coded messaging. Like, this is literally just kind of announcing, we have this boy and he's really great. I mean, this is weirdly worded. I don't even really know what the... I don't know. This does read like it's something pretty dark here, possibly. I mean, I don't know. This is weird. It's hard to even understand what the point of this is if I was to steel man it. All right. Yeah, well, it looks like someone paid money to just talk about how dope his kid is that he has with him. All right, weird. All right. "While Steve Raymond was busy plundering Mexican orphanages, Mark Raymond was establishing himself as a man about town in Yukiya, working as a reporter for the Yukiya Daily Journal, campaigning for the Yukiya City, forming the Mendocino County Big Brothers. Bizarrely, Mark Raymond was one of the first to glowingly interview Jim Jones while the People's Temple cult incubated in Yukiya." Hey, old Austin. Hey, I don't know if you watch these, buddy, but yeah. May want to check that connection out. I know you were going deep down at Jim Jones a while ago. All right, maybe there's something there. Maybe there's not much. But either way, that's interesting. Raymond whitewash PDF stuff in the temple cozied up to Tim Stone and described Jones as well-educated and a devout Christian. All right, so he was another one of the people in the thralls of saying how dope Jim Jones was. So, I don't know. All right, do with that what you will. After the culmination of the Jonestown PSYOP, Mark Raymond waxed apologetic in the Daily Journal for having fawned so over Jones and the cult, for accepting donations from the People's Temple, for the Big Brothers chapter he started, and for being featured in a temple newspaper. All right. Yeah, there you go. I mean, if anyone's... Okay, according to Mark Raymond's obituary, he was also luckily granted an early interview with Apple of the Heaven Gates cult. All right, well, that's spooky as well. I know I need one of these days to do like a series or something to Heaven's Gate. I know there's a lot of weird spooky stuff there. But either way, yeah, that's weird. While Mark Raymond was putting out propaganda pieces for Jim Jones, Steve Raymond became the executive for Jones associate Harvey Milk Lesbian and Gay Democratic Club, which once again, Harvey, which we mentioned in our series in Jonestown, Harvey Milk was, you know, who's known for being this like gay, profilic, I don't know how to say that word now. I don't know why, what's going on in my brain. Profilic? prolific. I'm retarded. Prolific. You know, voice for gays essentially out there, like LGBT stuff or whatever the hell. But he also was one of the people who was weirdly fawning over over Jim Jones during the but I guess there were a lot of people doing that, in all fairness, but still bizarre. Post-Jonestown fallout, Mark Raymond attended Golden Gate Baptist Theological Seminary, then the Defense Information School at Fort Benjamin Harrison. Fort Benjamin Defense Information. Okay, all right. Well, Golden Gate Theological Seminary, and then the Defense Information School at Fort Benjamin. What is that? I guess, I don't know what that's supposed to be. That sounds military stuff. Okay. To go right from theological stuff to a military school? I don't know what. I feel like there's something missing there. And soon thereafter, participated in one of the most notorious ritual abuse cases in the country. And if Raymond's obituary can be trusted, he was honorably discharged after two of his colleagues' children at West Point receiving CP to his residence there and having participated in the 1984 child development scandal. Well, that's why I was thinking that, because it was literally called the development center scandal. I don't know why. I was like, why am I just thinking of child care or whatever? And yeah, I don't know if it was like a preschool or what that was. All right. According to his obit, Mark Raymond married the executive director of Parents United of Stanislaus County in 1996. Raymond worked as bookkeeper for Parents United and served on the organization's membership board and as a member of its speaker's bureau. Raymond's position here becomes all the more disturbing once you look into the ethos and origin of Parents United. Parents United actually encourages child abuse victims to make amends and seek therapy with their abusers in order to preserve the family unit. All right, that is dark. Especially since the preserve the family unit, I feel like, heavily implies that there was someone within the family unit. Okay, but I mean, maybe I'm reading too much into this. Because, I mean, to some extent, to make amends and seek therapy with... All right, now that's insane. Now, I can understand for someone, it would feel like for their own good, maybe they could find a way to move past it or forgiveness or something. But to have to work that through with them, through therapy, and then also the weird little aside about in order to preserve the family unit. I mean, maybe you could make some weird roundabout argument that somehow being able to, you know, kind of move on with your own life will allow you to be closer to your family or something. But that definitely seems to imply something darker there to me. It seems like more or less like one of those things that you would always hear about in dark family stories about how, you know, especially from decades ago, where some family member did something to some other family member and most people are hush-hush about it. Like, this almost seems like this was like a, oh, you know, we'll have them go work this out here. But that seems, I don't know, even if that is in it coming from a what they think is a wholesome, you know, thing, that sounds really like it'd be really fucked up in practice. But all right, whatever. Pedophiles are promoted to... Oh, dang it, I screwed up. I went all this is trying to make mouse sounds and not say the word. All right. And I just screwed up right off the bat. All right, whatever. Are promoted to leadership positions within Parents United. Victims are promoted to leadership. That's... All right, Jesus Christ. Victims of incest and... are incentivized, that's the PDF stuff, are incentivized via therapy designed by Dr. Giorato, a former aircraft engineer at Lockheed, to reunify with their abusers. Wild stuff. As for Steve Raymond, he became the proprietor, with other NAMBLA-associated PDF people, of what came to be known as Club Ped. Jesus Christ. An orphanage in Bangkok, Thailand, which, oh my God, just... I mean, just Bangkok, Thailand, you know, like, all right, what the fuck? I'm pretty sure it's Thailand, where Gary Glitter, which, look into this one, he was tied into Jimmy Savile. He was one of the glitz pop type people. I want to say like the 80s. That's where he got, I believe, busted for doing really, really dark stuff to children there. I'm not saying it was specifically Bangkok, but I think it was Thailand. An orphanage in Bangkok, Thailand, which Raymond operated as a child brothel. All right. The orphanage such brothel was seemingly run in conjunction with Mark Morgan, an active Mormon, and David Grote, a PDF person involved with multiple NAMBLA-associated child abductions and CP operations on the East Coast. Curiously, Morgan's child brothel slash orphanage operation was financed by fellow Mormon, Howard Ruff, who claimed to have no idea at the time that he was actually bankrolling child trafficking instead of an orphanage. But yeah, Mormon, that's also weird stuff. Which, by the way, I forget. I need to dig through my messages. There's someone out there who's a Mormon who wanted to come on Already Dead to kind of talk about Intel connections and maybe SRA type stuff. So I would still like to, I'd like to do that. I actually don't have someone for tomorrow. So if you're watching this, hit me up. But otherwise, if I have a moment, I'll probably try to hunt you down. But I'd definitely like to have you on to talk about, because I mean, even I guess he was kind of, it seemed to imply, this guy I'm talking about, that there's a schism within Mormonism to where there's almost like a dark SRA side. So I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm reading into that. I've heard tell of this before. But I'd like an actual Mormon to come on and explain this stuff to me, especially someone that was like kind of open to the spooky stuff. So it'd be interesting. All right. All right. You claim to have no idea the time he was actually bankrolling this stuff in Seven Orphanage. Ruff, a famed numismatist, I don't even know what that is, appeared via forward alongside PDF Walter Breen's introduction in Scott A. Travers' book, Rare Coin Investment Strategy. Okay, I don't know. That might be reading too much into it. I don't know. According to Thai police, Steve Raymond and David Grote claimed to have contacts with Morgan's orphanage, and one of the men confessed that Morgan's orphanage was a front for child stuff. At Morgan's home in Bangkok, police found more than 500 images of CP. Ugh. All right. Let's see how much longer. Oh, Jesus, goes for a while. All right. Let's get back. All right. When Thai police searched Raymond and Grote's orphanage, they found photo albums filled with pictures of boys. There was a word before that, from which PDF tourists would allegedly make their selections. Other suspicious activities were alleged by Bangkok police, but were not specified. Here's a snip from an article. FBI seeks Americans held in Thai child ring. Ads for Steve Raymond's Tour Service Unlimited were advertised in the Modesto Bee in the 1980s. Yeah, this is very much Chicken Hawk stuff. Like, this is exactly like the stuff that I was reading about in this book. This is the kind of coded things they were doing, and they kind of went into all the different groups and how these people seem to be connected, and you know, trying to weave these things through. Ads for, it appears, Raymond's mother, Ruth, was involved to some extent with the tour service as well. All right, I'm not going to read all those, but you guys can go check out Lena's page later and dig through all these. It was Steve Raymond's mother, according to Steve, whose letter-writing prowess secured his release from Thai prison. Somehow she broke the logjam, Steve Raymond said. Stesser wrote letters to congressmen and senators, and eventually the letter came across the right desk. Like his brother Mark, Steve Raymond's reputation seems hardly tarnished by allegations of organized abuse. He wrote The Poison River, repeat with the bizarre cover art, about the purportedly false accusations leveled against him in his unjust imprisonment in Thailand. All right, what else we got? Oh, geez. All right, okay, we're almost there. I haven't read the book since I'm not keen on contributing even $5 to the guy, but it's available for purchase on Amazon. Yeah, I probably won't read it either, bud. Some further background. Steve Raymond, child brothel proprietor and NAMBLA steering committee head, was related to Detlev J. Raymond. Detlev Raymond was editor-in-chief and vice president of Robert Maxwell's Pergamon Press, as well as the board of directors of Maxwell Science International. Now, I believe that is... Okay, Robert Maxwell. I believe that is the Robert Maxwell I'm thinking of. I always forget his first name. So I'm just going to look it up on Google right here to make sure I'm not talking out of you. Oh, wait, no, you're right. I did mix this up. There's a Robert Mac. Well, no, wait. No, that is. No, that's Ghislaine's dad. For some reason, I was thinking I was mixing him up with somebody else. Nope. Ghislaine Maxwell's dad, who, for those who aren't aware, who live on an island, Ghislaine Maxwell is that broad who was a... chumming it up with Jeffrey Epstein. It looks like she was pretty much doing most of it, to be honest, especially since she was likely leaning on the blackmail operations her father had already established prior to her stepping into the game with Jeffrey. Interesting connection their relative was the editor-in-chief and vice president of his Robert Maxwell's Pergamon Press, which I'm assuming it's some sort of publication of his. Steve even enlisted the help of the Berkshire-based Detlev to write letters to Barney Frank, Edward Kennedy, and Jerry Studs in effort to secure Steve's release from Thai prison. Detlev Raymond has been described as one of Robert Maxwell's closest New York lieutenants and confidants. All right, and that's the end of that chat, guys, or end of that thread. I thought that was pretty interesting. Let me guys know what you think. But I'm going to go ahead and go through chat, and then we're going to probably skip on out of here after that. I'm already an hour and a half. I was trying to only do like an hour. YouTube speakeasy language. Yeah. Hey, the only whore around here is me. Hey, I don't know how guys like Dave and Scott remember so much. I have a good memory, but I only remember the core parts, not the names, the specific citations, dates, etc. Same here, dude. Same here. This is why, like, there are, I'm not even gonna lie, there's some presentations I've done where I'm just like borderline embarrassed because it's just like I fucked up or whatever, or I didn't prep like I want to. But like, especially in the game that I'm in where it's like parapolitics, it was almost kind of easier when I was in theory game because you get the basics down, you kind of just work off that. But when it comes to like parapolitics and like historical stuff, it's like, yeah, dude, fucking remembering the names, all the citations, and then you fuck it up and you're like, people are like, oh, look at this guy being a misinformation agent. I bet he's controlled opposition or something. No, I'm just retarded. That's all there is to it. But yeah, what a nice gift subscription. I'm assuming that was one of the things we went over. We call it tutoring. Yeah. They often go to Mexico. He abused. Oh, wait, no, this is like the Frank Fuster County Walk case. He abused kids with his wife at a daycare. They ran the kids, also claimed they did SRA, which, by the way, is satanic ritual abuse, for those who aren't aware, which is typically rated with diddling stuff, and would poop and pee on them, like always. Yeah, that is like common SRA. It's fucking gross. Daryl Cooper is in the chat. I'm a retard who reads a lot. Still checks out. Also, I do the same thing often. Forget how to pronounce shit. Yeah, that's the, for those who aren't aware, that was a tagline. I don't know. There's somebody out there that came up with this. This wasn't an original idea. Which, by the way, someone also came up with a tagline recently for Already Dead, which I thought it was good. It was a political show for those who have given up on politics. That's what Already Dead is. Whereas No Way Jose, or just me in general, I'm just a retard who reads a lot. That's all it is. Elliot James. Oh, hey, what's up, Elliot James? New patron. Bible about natural law anarchism. I don't know what you mean there. Seems like a lot of these secret societies and old families hide in every religious institution and do so horrific stuff. Yeah, so sad. Yeah, that was my point with the Mormon thing and like bringing on the guy. I don't necessarily think it's like intrinsic to Mormonism, just like, you know, some of the stuff we've seen in the Catholicism and may not be intrinsic. You could say the incentives have been put in place, but yeah, I mean, there's people that have, you know, that have bad intentions and they hop in on the ship. Have you heard the Frank Fuster County Country Walk case? Maybe I have. The name doesn't ring a bell. I mean, I read the thing up above that you mentioned, and it sounds very similar to a lot of things I've read about. But the problem is there's so many parallels between so many of these cases. They usually kind of follow the same basic path. It's pretty messed up. Maxwell's publishing company ended up merging with another and became McGraw-Hill. They make all the textbooks. That's an interesting little factoid there. So, someone look it up, maybe verify the Pergamon Press that we were talking about and see if that ends up merging with another and becoming McGraw-Hill. Or maybe he had another publishing company. I'm not sure. As opposed to the non-satanic ritual abuse. Well, all right, guys, we're at the end of it. I appreciate you guys for showing. I do want to give... Oh, someone says, go read 1 Samuel 8, Elliot. I'm not sure what that one's referencing. Bible about natural law anarchism. Oh, yeah, okay, I get it now. One second. God, brought up my phone and a million things came up. But I do want to let you guys know, if you do want to get early content, if you want to support the show, we talked about that a lot earlier today. I mean, don't feel compelled to, but I definitely do appreciate it. If you like this, I mean, you want to see more of this in the world, I mean, that's how you do it. Like, in the end of the day, like, if I'm going to do more of this, I kind of do need more money because I do have a real life and I have bills. So, I mean, it's just how it works. If you don't want more, don't. I'm just saying, you know, that's what you get. You get what you put into the world to some extent. So if that's what you want, donate a buck. I try to give you guys some value. I do stuff, for example, like at the lowest level, the $2 level, I give you guys early stuff. For example, that Amy Lepore episode I talked about earlier that's going to be dropping Friday, that's been available since Thursday. Or no, when did we do that? Actually, I think we may have done that on a different day because of the, I don't remember when we did that. But it's been there for days. So if you want to get, if you want to be able to get early stuff, you know, you can get on the Patreon there, patreon.com/NoWayJose2020. There also, I give out a perk for the Already Dead streams I do with Austin. It allows you to be a talking head alongside of us. trying to think of it. And there's other differing levels of perks. Well, as the higher you go up, the highest is my sponsors, and I read them off every episode. And I'm very appreciative of you guys. You guys have helped me get through a lot of this stuff recently. I have my co-host on Targeting, at Targeting Toad. I have at Abrogate D's, and then I have at Z-O-V-E-R-A-C-K, then at underscore Infinite Zeal, then Jacob Daniel, the Biblical Anarchy Podcast. You can follow him at Biblical Anarchy. He's the homie you saw in the chat today. They have Tim Tuttle at Jolly on Klebold. He makes a lot of edits for the show. I really appreciate him. And then Will Bell, who makes this delicious blueberry rabbit eye wine. Highly recommend you go check that out. And then also a big fan of the show, at Real Josh Elliott. Wait, did I mix you up? Oh, I don't know why. I saw Elliot James, and I thought that was my new sponsor. So Josh will probably watch this later. Good show. Thanks, man. Much love, all. Appreciate it. Your support, really like it, will go away. Yeah, I mean, I don't have any plans of going away anytime soon. I will be honest. You know, if you guys start go away and I'm getting no support, then, like, yeah, I guess I would. But, like, not that I make a ton right now, but you, like I said, you get what you get. Like, you know, I'm trying to squeeze in more of these morning streams, but at the end of the day, like, if I have another job, but if say I started making $500 extra from the show a month, I could probably dial back a few shifts, or, you know, maybe pull back on some other things I'm doing, and now I have more time to dedicate the show. So, I mean, just basic stuff. Like, I'm able to pull away from other things and put more into this. I'd rather put more into this, so, but just, it's a matter of if it comes or doesn't. Either way, I'm having fun. Keep putting out content, but if you want to see more content and better content, then yeah, support the show, share the stuff around, you know, whatever you can do to help out what we're doing over here. But everyone like this video, just stuff like that. Yeah. Just, you know, stuff like that helps. So, I mean, I appreciate the support. If you don't want to get money, just, you know, boost up the algorithms, stuff like that, anything helps. So, with that, guys, I'm going to go ahead and let you guys go. Follow me on Twitter at Tower Gang Jose. I have Already Dead tomorrow on Tuesday. And then obviously we have Tower Gang on Wednesday. Actually, I don't know. I don't think we're doing Tower Gang Wednesday. Now that I think about it. So maybe I don't have Tower Gang Wednesday. But either way, we will be doing Tower Gang sometime this weekend. I believe we're doing episode 200 Bohemian Grove. So I don't know. I'm sure we'll probably try to figure out something interesting, like whether it's one of the guests there we pull or whatever. I don't know. We'll figure out something to make it fun. Show up tomorrow for Already Dead at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I'll have Austin with me. I mean, if we can get a guest in last minute, I don't have any guests yet. But either way, you guys can pop in the chat and talk to us again then. You call in, whatever. But But if you hit a bullseye on one, I'll throw it. I'll donate. I'm not going to go over there and do it. I'm not your monkey. I'll donate to it. Maybe one of these days. Maybe I'll keep one of these on me, and I'll just kind of turn around and throw it next time. But I'm not going to, like, get up and go over. So, yeah. If I stretch my nut skin flat like papers, will that help? Yeah, that'll help, dude. But with that, guys, I've rambled on enough. I feel like we had fun. We kind of shot the shit a little bit. We did dig into some actual substantive stuff as well. Next time I'll try to bring some more to you. If you guys, let me know what you guys think about the format. If you want to make changes to the format, whatever. I figured, you know, just kind of going through articles that I want to read or, you know, threads. I mean, if there's any good short videos or whatever that cover content that we tend to want to, then that works. But hit me up wherever, you know, is applicable, whether it's Patreon or, you know, whether it's on the Telegram. But with that, we are out.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.